I have one short message, okay? And I can say it in one sentence. Okay, ready? Okay. When anybody is born into this life, then they are not a victim. Anybody that comes into this world, they don't come into the world as a victim. Nobody is actually a victim. Really. So thank you for listening tonight. More? We got to, okay, let's pray for that. Lord, we need more. Yes, we want your mind now to think. Because this counsel from the world is not your mind. But we came to share your mind at the picnic tables out at the deck and in the hallways and in this room. In our hearts, we want your mind, Lord, and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to, by the way, did you hear about the guy who was scuba diving up in Provincetown, Massachusetts? And he ended up inside the mouth of a humpback whale. How many heard about it? Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, he's inside this, he felt a nudge. He's 45 feet down. And then the blackness, and he's feeling the pressure of the mouth as the whale is trying to swallow him. And he didn't know it, but he starts punching. And, you know, he doesn't want to go down, down to the digestive tract, right? And they spit him out. So isn't that great? You think you got issues? Okay, so let's see. Lamentations 2 and verse 14. Regarding the counsel of our culture as the people in our culture, the media, and all by all means, movies and the educational system is teaching people that we are victims. That it isn't fair what happened to us. The racial diversity issues and all of this stuff that is constantly coming. And you and I have to come to one simple thought. Is anybody that is born in this world really a victim? If a child is born with Down syndrome, or a disability, are they a victim? If somebody born of a certain race, whatever it is that a victim? If I have an education or not, if I have a lot of money or little money, am I a victim? It's a good question, because this verse says that the prophets, and he means your false prophets, you could put in there university professors, movie writers, the communicators of the culture, they have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not discovered your iniquity. Maybe we could do the King James Version. To turn away your captivity, but have seen for you false burdens and causes of banishment. Okay, but I've seen for you oracles that are false and misleading. That happens in the world. And how do you really believe what I am saying and can think about it from God's mind? I'd like to know what God says when a child is born. Look at Exodus 4, when God was talking to Moses, he said, who has made the blind? Didn't he say that? Exodus chapter 4. Moses said, I am slow of speech, chapter 4, verse 10, and I am of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb? What's a dumb? That's a deaf person. Who made a deaf person? Answer, please. God. Did God make them deaf? God made them deaf. That's what it says. How about a blind man? God made him blind. God, is he a victim? What does God say? I made him to live as a blind man, and I give him grace, and I've given him gifts, and I have anointed him if he is submitted to me. I empower to him. I give him gifts. I give him privileges. I answer his prayers. Or many things we could say about this person that is deaf. And what's the next one? Or the seeing. Who made the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord. Who made them? God made them. Down syndrome child? God made that child. What does that child have? He has a life. He has a future. What does that child have? He has a mission. He's in this world on purpose. God made him. God put him here. Isn't he a victim? No. That's what the world says about us day and night. Day and night. Day and night, they're saying it all the time. And where does it bring us? Where does it really do for you? What does it really do to you when you say that you have, your genetical material, you're prone to depression, so you're a depressed person? Thank you very much for the message. What does it say? I'm sorry, to go back to Jeremiah 2. Can we do that? Jeremiah 2, 14 and 15. Did I say the wrong? Lamentations, I'm sorry. Lamentations 2, 14. Thank you. Okay. The prophets have seen vain and foolish things for you. You know, and you can say, you know, you have it in your heart. I have total trust in you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, because we are being taught and we're learning to think with God. And this is important, because we're not as others that just swallow everything. They just swallow and believe things that are unhealthy, that are not true, that are lies, that are misleading, and it doesn't bring me anywhere. It says, they have not discovered your iniquity, meaning the real problem with you is your unbelief with God. That's the iniquity. The real problem in my life is that I am not submitted to God. Do you remember the story, the parable in Matthew 25, where one had 5 talents, one had 3, and one was a victim? I made that up. One had 5 talents, one had 3 talents, and one had 1 talent. 1 talent, that's all that he had. Was he a victim? No, he had a talent. He had something to do. He had a mission. He had a purpose. He had God. He had God in his life. What else do I need? We've got God. I might not talk so well like Moses could say. And God said to Moses, knock it off. You can't speak. Who made dumb and deaf people and blind people? I am. I made them. And I made you the way you are. So kind of muscle up and get ready because I'm going to use you. Show up. You know, show up. I need you. Come on. You live in that world of victimhood, and our whole culture falls apart with everybody's a victim and it's not fair what happened to me. And then what happens? What is that? 35% of third graders are not proficient in reading, so they change the scores. And so we have an educational system that children are not learning. And so now, not only am I a victim of some unfortunate social injustice, but now I'm stupid. And then I'm angry at my teacher, angry at the guy that does very well in school. And that's, you're the problem. No, you are the problem because you can't read. And you can't read because you're not being educated to read. You're being taught by your teachers about transgender this and transgender that when they should be teaching A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They should be teaching you mathematics and English. These idiots. I mean, I'm so upset about it and angry, but don't worry. Please keep coming back to the church, you know, because we're in the Word and, you know, I get to blow off steam a little bit every once in a while. All right, go back to the verse Jeremiah 2. Where are we? Lamentations, I did it again. Turn away, but have seen for you false burdens and causes of banishment. Now go to Jeremiah, please. If you really want to, think about Israel and her waywardness and her falling away from God, just so similar to America as we fall away from God, And I said in the morning message, I think at the 11 o'clock message, that I honestly feel that some Americans who are not Christians that are saying, where are the Christians? Because we are losing our minds. Where are the Christians telling us how to raise families and how to think and how to say no? And where are the Christians that are telling us about God? Because our country is losing its mind. Where are they? And our answer is, here we are. We are here. We are here. We haven't lost our minds. Usually. Periodically. Now, this is good. So, go to Jeremiah 2, who has fallen away. Can a maid, verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? You know, when a bride, the night before the wedding, doesn't she have the dress hung up where she can see it, maybe tried it on? It's right there, first thing in the morning. She's probably looking at it. I mean, I don't know. I can imagine that wedding dress is a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. And the male version of that, the guy going out duck hunting, will he forget his rifle or his shotgun in the morning? Will he forget it? Now, a woman will not forget her dress, and a guy hunting will not forget his shotgun. But that's the first thing on his list. But you have forgotten me days without number. Verse 32. Yet my people have forgotten me. Verse 33. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Trimmest thou means to get dressed up with the trimmings that woman puts on the fine things, you know, whatever, lipstick or cosmetics or the trimming, the polish, the shoes or... But she's trimming herself to seek love. And that's what Israel was doing, because she didn't have love. So she's playing the role of like seductive. She's looking for, she's seducing. And God is saying, you're believing in lies. They can't deliver you. And your lovers will not love you. You go seeking love, but they will not love you. Verse 33, therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones your ways. Also in your skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I can't help but think of aborted babies when I read that verse. And in her skirts is the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search. I haven't found it by secret. It was obvious. It's on your skirt. It's obvious. It's in your life. Yeah, it's not hard to figure it out. You're messed up. You don't get it. You're always crying about something, always a victim. You're always saying it's not fair. It's like, you know, this is the mind of God for us to grow in his mind and grace and to know him. I think that's what's needed in our world. Just simply a group of people who have a good conscience. People who have been forgiven of their sins. People who have found definition and wisdom. I love it when we, whether I'm a black man or an Asian man or a Jewish man or whatever I might be, or an Indian or whatever it is, and we carry ourselves with personal dignity and we say, what's the challenge? I want to attack it. I want to believe in God. I want to be there. I want to show up. Don't talk to me about me being a victim. I did a lousy job. I did a lousy job. I own it. I take responsibility, but I'm going to walk with God. He forgives me, gives me grace, and leads me in what he wants me to do, what he wants me to be. I just need somebody to tell me the truth. That's all that I want. I want God to help me and lead me and tell me the truth. Last part is Proverbs 1. Please turn there. And this is the book of wisdom, Proverbs. And I'm very fascinated with this verse, Proverbs 1, verse 10. And for weeks I've been thinking about it. I don't know why. But it speaks for itself. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Young man, if sinners entice you, do not agree, do not consent. Don't be part of that group. Don't agree with them. Well, I think of a gang. A gang would be a group that would entice. I talked to a gang member who was here, and he was trying to break away. He went, what do you call that when you go solo, when you leave the group? Anybody know the name, the word? It's a gang. It's a term when you go off the grid to try to escape. You delete all your accounts, you kind of go incognito, you disappear, you move away. You try to get away from the gang, you go under, you know, whatever, you underground, or you try to disappear, you get off the grid, so they don't find you. Guys, it could be serious if they find you, okay? Guys, you know too much, and so on. But that kind of enticement might not be a problem for you, but there are other enticements that happen to us in our hearts, seductions. I think of our imagination in our heart. What happens is somebody in their imagination, They don't do outward sin, but they do internally. They sin in their mind and imagination. We sin by dreaming about mischief, maybe even in our memories, things that we have done in the past. We may relive them and enjoy reliving them, even though they are sinful. I think of people maybe that have sexual activity in their past, and they relive those things that they have done that were sinful. And in their mind, this is something that is kind of attached to them in their mind. And they have a hard time breaking away. And the world is saying nothing to us about solving those problems. They do not teach it anywhere. But we are teaching it. That your mind has to be subject to God, and He will help you. Whatever is pure, whatever is godly, whatever is virtuous, whichever is good. Also, like when you hate somebody, hatred is a sin, but nobody knows it because I have it on the inside. So I have hatred on the inside, and nobody's helping me with it. Nobody's telling me that it is sin. Nobody's telling me how to get rid of it. Nobody's telling me that I should confess it. It's just something that I live in mentally in my life. And then I wonder why I don't have any spiritual power, why I don't have any real passion, why I don't have so much peace, why I don't have a real kind of direction in my life, because I'm sinning in my mind. As a habit, is a way of life. Then sinners entice me. I'm with them, and I cannot say in my heart no, because I already have in my heart yes. I already have it in my heart. It's only a matter of time before I meet those people or that person. It's only a matter of the things coming together before it happens. So Proverbs is saying, how long will you like to live this way? Look at chapter 1, verse, because I want to not be long here. I want to move along here. Verse 18. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Another sinful habit of my mind is covetousness. What I want. What I want. Have any of you been in one of those like businesses where it's about you becoming rich? And the multi-level marketing and becoming rich and the demonstration, and they just pull out the, you know, what house you want, what car you want, and so on. It never really fascinated me. Guys, I don't know why, but I don't know. It could be, it could. I'm not saying that. I just want to say that I think sometimes it is all about covetousness. It's about me and money. And we have that weakness in our country, like this is the way we live and what we think about. But actually, I don't want to say it's sinful, but maybe it is. It's like, don't show me the picture of the car. I don't care. I'm not thinking about it. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to be with this group. I'm not saying you couldn't be. I'm not telling you what. I'm just trying to stretch your mind a little bit and realize that we have something that is so amazing and very personal and very satisfying. And what the world is selling us constantly as a way is not spiritual. It's not God. It's like fall, causes of banishment is vanity. It's emptiness. It's foolishness. And how many poor people, how many poor people go to a casino with their last $20? And it's gone, and the government and the leaders are like looking the other way, and they're just taking the $20. And with poor people who may not know more, know enough. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I want you to think about it. There's something here, and we're coming to the point. Here it is. Let's go to it. Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. Wisdom cries out. Wow. She cries in the chief place of concourse. Verse 21. Out in public. The top of the house. In the openings of the gates. In the city she utters her words. Saying, how long, you simple ones. Now, you've heard us say before that in the Hebrew, the word simple means open. How long will you simple ones? It's like open. When I think of a boy watching TV, and he can watch anything he wants to on the TV, anything he wants to, he's open. He's open. He doesn't close. He doesn't close the door. He's just everything, anything comes. He is just open. He is simple. Because he can't filter. He can't filter. So, he has an open mouth for anything and everything to eat. Because he doesn't have any discernment. Yeah, it's the same. Chocolate-covered poison. Man, does that taste good? Wow. It goes down so smooth. It's great. You simple ones. Now, I know in some parts of the world, third world, they don't have doors and windows on their houses. So what happens? What comes into the house? Animals and whatever, snakes or birds can fly in and out and so on, you know. I kind of like the idea. But an open house is not a wise thing. And an open mind that is open, and Chesterton said, an open mind is like an open mouth. It's meant to close on something solid. I am to eat and close my mouth on something that is substantial. And with my mind, I am able to receive from God and close myself on that thing and have it. And I got it. This is the key to my future. Not a lie like I'm a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I don't want to believe that. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm alive. I have the gift of life. I have a brain, and maybe it's working right now. And I have some thoughts, and I have a spirit, and maybe God has sent me here. And I want to believe that. You and I are from God. That's what we have in common. We are from God. God sent us. That's the way it is. That's how we live. Amazing. Okay, finishing. Chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and we're done. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long are you going to be doing this for? Have you ever woken up in a drunken stupor, vomiting, roll out of bed? How stupid. How long am I going to do this for? It says in Proverbs, I go back to it. I go back to it. I go back to it. And God is saying, how long are you going to go back? How long are you going to seek lovers that don't love you? How long are you going to make excuses about life? Why don't you come to God and live and receive from God? Well, verse 23. I skipped important parts. Scorners that's in the scorner's delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge that is so loaded. But here's the answer, verse 23, turn you at my reproof, the Lord said. I will reprove, turn at my reproof. Wow. Meaning, when I correct you, when I correct you with love, it's for your good. And turn in my reproof. I will do two things. I will pour my word out on you, verse 23. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. There's the answer. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. This will change the inside of your life. So you stop daydreaming about adultery. You stop daydreaming about covetousness. You can say no to the people that would entice you and say, I'm not going with you. I'm sorry. Take my number out of your phone. I'm not into that. Thank you very much. May God bless you. I'll be praying for you. You need help. You need help. You need God. Okay? So this is, I know it turned pretty serious and you're good listeners, but it is amazing. I want you to think about it because I'm provoking you in your thoughts. I don't buy it. I don't buy the garbage that they're selling out there. And the common people are going to, people are just going to be going with some that's going to affect our education, our relationships, our communities, and it's all not where we're supposed to live. There's no difference between a black and a white man, only that which God makes, and God's given us, all of us, grace. And I don't even think about it. I never have. It's not in my heart and mind. It's not spiritual. It's not from God. Look at the variety. Look at the blessing. Look at what God has given us. It's amazing. They are people that are enemies of God, and their counsel is poison. And I don't accept it, and we push back with it, and I'm not part of that at all. Don't believe in it at all. You greet somebody on the street and you love them. You shake their hand and you encourage them, and you can say, you are gifted. You have gifts God has given you. A blind man, you have a calling. You have a gift of life. A deaf man, you are precious. You are gifted. God gave you life. God made you this way. You are a blessing to us. You are a blessing to me. What? Obviously, that's the way we think. I do not take me down to some dumb, stupid level of foolishness and put that in our children and in our churches and in our lifestyle. Sin is sin. And I'm not a good minister if we do not define what sin is. And it's a foolish thing to go to a church where there is no teaching on sin. That's a ridiculous thing. The church is based on understanding that we are sinners and that God loved us and gave us Christ, and we grow in Christ and learn of Him and understand what is going on in this world through doctrine. Okay, so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, and you know this, but you don't know, and I don't know as we ought to know. But anyway, we're good. Amen. In the Lord. Amen. God bless you. All right, let's pray. May this is an invitation, anyone at all hearing this message, would you come to Jesus as you are? A horrible thing to be lost. A most glorious thing to be born of God. Turn you at my reproof. Let me correct you and turn and come to me. I will pour my spirit out. I will make my words known unto you. Then you'll have godly meditation. Then you'll learn how to turn off the switch. You're able to say no to the flesh. When people approach you, you don't join the group. But you can be there as a friend, but you cannot be seduced by what they are doing. You consent not to it. But you turn to the Lord and be spirit-filled and have new friendships and content in your mind and heart and in your purpose in life, in your footsteps, in your lifestyle, in your friendships and your mission. Father, teach us these things in Jesus' name. And to those that are listening, come to Jesus today by faith. Say, I need you, Jesus. I need you. In your name, I pray. Amen.